Welcome to the penultimate official episode of the Animation Industry Podcast. My name is Terry, and last week in episode 250, I shared that I was stepping down from producing this show every single week, which I have been doing for almost 6 years now, and this is the second last episode I will be publishing, officially. thank you. You know, I've received a lot of DMs from you guys. Thank you so much for all the heartfelt messages. Really appreciate it. It means a lot to me. And next episode is going to be the last official episode that I'll be publishing of this podcast, so look out for that. This chat is with Ola Tillman, a German indie video game art director at Slow Bros Studio. You might have seen the game Harald Halibut making a splash all over social media today because the game just came out today, but also for its super interesting art style. Basically everything in the game, all the characters, assets, backgrounds, etc., were meticulously handcrafted in stop motion style, and then everything was 3D scanned and animated and composited in CG in the video game. In our chat, Ola goes through the entire process of how they created this super unique style you don't see very often, as well as the ins and outs of developing the video game over 10 years, including finding funding, a publisher, other artists, etc., etc., etc. So, without further ado, let's jump in. Hello, Ola. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm good.
Good. I'm really interested to chat with you because you've worked on a game that came up on my radar that is also very interesting to me, Harald Halibut, which I don't know too much about it, but it instantly caught my eye because to a layperson, it looks like the entire world and all the characters and everything is made in stop motion, but it's actually everything in the video game is hand-built and then 3D scanned and then 3D animated. So I can't think of another game. There have been a few stop motion games over the years that have been kind of famous for what they've done, but I can't think of another game that has taken what you've done to the level that you've done it. So I'm really excited to chat and learn all about it. So maybe for those listening, can you give like a little overview of what the video game is about?
Yeah, sure. So it's we've been calling it a handcrafted narrative game. It's most closely associated to like the adventure genre, probably, maybe even walking simulators. You play as Harald, who is like a janitor / lab assistant, sciencey assistant, on board of a spaceship that crash landed on an alien water planet. And the backstory was kind of that the spaceship is like an ark-like situation sent off from Earth somewhere during like Cold War times, thinking that the world would end, and just kind of loosely aimed at a habitable planet. But yeah, then once they get there, they end up crash landing at the planet and realizing that there's no landmass or habitable space. And so they're just kind of stuck there in this water planet once the game gets started. And you play as Harald and you wander around the ship and try to figure out how to get back into space, basically, or any other place than this stuck situation, essentially.
Oh, sounds very depressing. Earth is ending. Let's send out an ark. It crash lands on the worst, well, maybe not the worst possible planet, but it crash lands on a water planet, and you are a janitor / lab assistant whose fate of all humanity is left up to get back into space. Okay, interesting. Let's dial it back a bit. So I want to talk about how you came up with this game in the first place, but you're traditionally an illustrator. By trade. So like so tell me the progression of, I guess, like being born to realizing you're very talented with like color and line and becoming like this cool illustrator to then working for years and years and years on a video game. Like that seems like I don't know how many illustrators end up full-time video gaming. Like maybe where did this start?
That puts it really loosely, from being born.
well, I mean, like, you know, figurative speechly, like,
right, yeah. No, not with
Like,
me.
how did you get into illustration in the first place and make a career out of it that led to video game?
So the art interest is, I think, a pretty standard path, I would say, from like just early childhood drawing a lot and then focusing kind of more and more on it and realizing, thankfully, like really early on in high school that I want to make this into a career of some kind. The illustration part came a little later because, yeah, my biggest focus from the get-go was drawing. Like it's in terms of career path from birth on, it's really funny. My mom kept a bunch of our early artworks from my sister and me, and my sister's work is all like colorful tunnels. Like she definitely went for the like bright crayons and colored pencils a lot, and everything that's kept from me is just like black and white. I don't think there's a single color thing, and it's all very like comic looking. Like it was very illustrative from the get-go, and very like strange characters and stuff. Like apparently, looking back, I eventually found these on in a basement a couple years ago, and it was just so funny to see that difference, that there was some kind of immediate focus of just like sitting around collecting weird characters and bugs that are all just line drawings in black and white. But yeah, then thankfully I realized during high school at some point that I think even then there was a video game interest definitely, or concept art in general. I got sucked into a forum back then, which I'm trying to, I think it might have just been called conceptart.org or something. There's like a huge concept art community, which looking back also feels really weird. Like it was a very bro-y scene from what I remember, where it's very much like, you know, like focused around, I liken it now to like an athletic like communities, where it's just like you gotta like train your drawing skills real hard if you want to like make it into this job. And people doing like, you know, thousands of self-portraits every day to like, you know, maximize your skills. And I definitely enjoyed like hanging out there on the internet at the time, and this was like my biggest like in into like an art education before any kind of formal education happened. And it was really helpful in that way because they do just like cover a lot of the like classical realistic drawing beats basically that are part of like the probably like British tradition or something, where it's just like, you know, you start off with some kind of like grayscale drawing of what you're seeing when considering perspective and, you know, forms, shapes, and whatnot, and the lighting that hits it, and then you thinly add colors, and then eventually the like digital transformation of that technology, basically. And yeah, I just remember it in terms of like the full development, that was definitely a crucial step at some point, was finding that forum and all these people that are like super focused on drawing. But then I kind of dipped out of there because the actual like content and thoughts that were coming out of there like didn't line up with what I was interested in. It just seemed to very much revolve around tropes, at least from what I could tell. Like it especially in terms of concept art for video games, I kept seeing the same like space stations, the same orc and elves section, and yeah, it was just that world became a little closed off and repetitive to me. And that was also in parallel to like actually finding universities. And yeah, I was lucky in being able to go to the United States. So I'm based in Germany, and I grew up in Germany, but then I got accepted to an American university out of high school, and ended up going there for the entire like bachelor degree for illustration, which came about because in Germany there's definitely illustrators, but there's not as much of like an illustration tradition as there is, for example, in the States. And it's most closely associated with animation here as well. But again, that's by now there's more like private schools and like specialized classes that teach this, but at the time, I'm wondering now, 15 years ago or whatever, yeah, it wasn't as much of a topic, and you really had to go search for it.
Interesting. So from a young age, you already like were hyper focused on drawing to the point where like you were joining online communities and like, training yourself. Then you went and studied seriously. And then when you entered the real world, how did you end up getting your first work as an illustrator? Like you have all these skills. Because like, I've seen your work and there's a very clear style that you've developed as well. Like it's kind of I don't know, like it reminds me of like magazine illustrations and like online things. Like how did you start to market yourself to get work as an illustrator?
terribly so, I would say. I had a lot of trouble doing that in the beginning. I again, like the game thing was always kind of a back and forth aspect of this, because I interned at Disney while I was at school still, and that helped me a lot to like gain a perspective on the like large scale game production, basically.
So you interned
And
in their games, in a games, in their game studio, or as an illustrator?
yeah, at the that was just I think that was like around 2010,
Okay.
and it was right around the time they were like buying up Marvel and like expanding to that like insane degree that we know they I think Pixar was already part of the company, and I just remember sitting through like a multiple day introduction video thing of like, welcome to the family. Here's we just bought up Pixar and Marvel and all these other companies, and we're going to be the one and only place for entertainment for the future from here on out.
Wow, the hive mind.
Yeah, definitely. It was kind of intimidating in that respect. And they had, I don't know what it is now, but yeah, there was something about like Epic Mickey or something like this, like a bigger Disney game title that was just like from Disney, the company, and not just some like licensing or other like add-on thing. And then yeah, there was one, the I can't remember what it's called, but they just essentially had an entire gigantic building that was just making games, but like online. Like I was working on like a massive online role-playing thing for children, which added to the intimidation, basically, because the entire time I was there, it was super informative, and like everybody was there was like really talented and helpful and generally enthusiastic. But at the same time, yeah, I kept like having trouble with like what we were actually working on, because it is just like a subscription model, and this is 2010, so even before all the this became a lot more normal. This was still basically just World of Warcraft for children, and we're going to try to get them as addicted as possible, basically, to keep their parents like paying for that. But yeah, in terms of it, just like from my perspective, it was, and in terms of being in some kind of industry, it was really helpful to like gain an understanding of like what full-time work looks like, what and different kinds of. I kept having access to like everybody in the building, so I could just talk to anyone I wanted to, and they had like lectures there,
So you were
and
taking full advantage of like talking to people, going to lectures, like because you wanted to make your own video game down the line, you're like, I need to learn everything, or you're just like, I'm here, it's Disney, why not?
Because no, because the game thing wasn't a kind of, I think that was, it might have been the first time since those like concept art board and internet days that I considered this option, after the like orc fantasy letdown loop thing I was talking about earlier. And I just wanted to dip my toes in and see what actually happens there, like beyond my preconceptions. And also because university was really helpful and at the same time not helpful in that it like opened my mind and perspective to such a huge degree that after school I definitely ended up being like kind of more confused than before, because especially from that like concept art perspective, it was very focused. And as I said, it was kind of like an athletic regiment where it's like, like all we're going to be doing is this concept art thing. And after university, it was a lot more like, okay, like really what I'm interested in is one is drawing and then like visualizing ideas. Is like the illustration thing was definitely some like spot on for me. It was just to like sit around and look at texts or like ideas in general of other people and then try to like translate them into a visual thing. Was really intriguing to me. And so I was trying to get the most out of that internship at Disney in terms of like enriching my perspective to see like if I can develop any kind of like better focus on something specific and how to like make money off of this like vague interest.
Totally. I mean, well, it definitely worked. So at what point did you've talked a lot about video games and being interested in video games and also the illustration aspect. At what point did you get together with your friends and say, like, let's take this seriously and make something together that's gonna
Yeah, a
last
couple years later.
a couple years later.
Yeah.
So like how does that conversation happen? Like, you're an illustrator by trade. You have one internship at Disney seeing video games being made, and you're like, you know what? I feel confident to go forward and make a crazy technology advanced, pushing the boundaries video game in the next couple of years. Like, how did you get into it?
Really randomly and like not like purposefully at all, I would say. Because yeah, I left the internship and then I did some more work with the people around Disney, like while I was still in school. I also did some internships like in ad work, advertising, and a couple of other like more normal like career potential career paths. But it was all kind of frustrating ultimately because as like the it's often the case with finding money in creative things, it's so diametrically opposed, I feel, that like like as soon as you introduce money to the creative processes, it always there's always awkward elements to that. So I just kept I feel like even retrospectively that I just kept getting kind of more confused. And the and then the immigration thing in the US was also really like pulling me down, because it's really hard to stick around there. It's bound to full-time work and then like getting visas there. And it's also bound to like just having a lot of money. Like I didn't realize it at the time, but like the situation in Germany as like a quote unquote welfare state, or like from an American perspective, like socialist setup or whatever, it's way more comfortable in as an artist than it is in the States, because the States is so much more like cutthroat. And so many of my friends, especially at that time, were like without insurance, for example. They just like wouldn't be insured and would just be kind of praying that they wouldn't have a bike accident or whatever, because then you're fucked. And I don't know.
Yeah,
The
that's a interesting point I never really have talked about on this podcast is like I live in Canada where it's not as this it's not the same as Germany, but we have free healthcare, et cetera. But
yeah.
like I never crossed my mind once, like, what am I gonna do if I injure myself? Or like, do I have to have savings for that? But like in the States, if you want to be an artist and like have your own career and like I feel like every artist goes through the starving artist period, but like if something happens to you during that, like your dreams are crushed basically. Like, what the heck?
Yeah, to me it's just very apparent because I lived in both places, and it was especially looking back, it's super palpable. It's that just like the States. I think there's also a lot of like positive stuff to that. It just like really puts people like on their asses and like has a whole new like energy level to it. But yeah, coming back home was a huge revelation in that sense because it was so much like, oh wow, all that stuff is taken care of, and I can be a lot more relaxed about what to consider here. And yeah, so in terms of actual steps between that internship at Disney and the game I ended up working on was just a lot of like editorial illustration and just small random jobs I could find in illustration to keep me above water and pay my rent. And still also kind of course, like seeking out some type of more stable career. But yeah, that's what I meant in terms of being confused earlier, is that just I wasn't really feeling like I was getting on some type of like railroad towards a career of any kind at the time.
So
And I just
how did that initial conversation go with the other guys that started the video game? Like, because it's one thing to say, yeah, let's make a video game and do a few sketches, but it's a whole other thing to be like, let's go all in and work on this no matter what and see what happens and like take things seriously, invest our time, invest money, try to find, funding, get publishers, get marketers, like because some of the, creating a video game is very expensive, especially like how you've done it. It's very time consuming. You have to use multiple, cameras and technology. That's all very expensive versus either just doing it on the computer and just, I don't know, doing it in Unity and illustrating on the computer. So like, how did that initial conversation go where you just were like, what was the feeling? Like, yeah, this is what we're working on no matter what, or like it just kind of evolved.
Somewhere between that, I would say. So the initial conversation was the three other people that we ended up founding the company with, had been talking to each other and had built a first set, which is Harold's room, the main character's like
So
personal
how
little
did you find these
getup.
other people in the first place? Like it.
So we're all from the same hometown in Aachen in Germany, and I think we're connected through our sisters. They all knew each other and hooked it up somehow. And
So you're out
like
for
the
a
three.
hike, or you're having a beer or something, as the two stereotypical things I know about Germans, they hike a lot.
Not
And you're
even
like,
yet.
let's make a stop motion set. Like
No, so it's the three other people were already like friends amongst themselves, and I was kind of added to this group, and they have been talking about, they came from like different backgrounds as well, especially like film backgrounds, like live action film, and had also just gone through like school and gone through the first couple of like professional things to do. And like their original thing was literally that they couldn't do it any other way. Like they didn't know how to like properly draw or like to do 3D or any of the other like basic or common game development skills. And so they started out with the stop motion set because it especially one of the members is like really good at building stuff. So he built a little room and they were like, okay, is this maybe where this story could start? And they contacted me just for like a character sketch initially because they knew that through our sisters that I was vaguely in this field of like, yeah, idea visualization or even concept art. And they just asked for, yeah, the main character and what he could look like. And at that point, though, all the ideas were still like fairly vague. It was, I think, the underwater element was there, that it would be some kind of like 20,000 miles under the sea setup. And yeah, some like sensitive janitor guy lives in the setup and interacts with other people. And I think that's as far as we'd gotten.
This sounds crazy to me. Like, it doesn't sound like there was a distinct plan, I guess, where a couple of guys were like, one of us coder, one has art, one has like animation,
No.
and like we're gonna merge our skills to create a video game. It was more like,
No,
we
it
don't
was
know what
very
we're doing, we don't know
hostile.
what it's gonna be. Let's start with stop motion, which seems like the most like hardest way to accomplish anything. And we know this guy, he knows how to illustrate, so let's get him to draw something.
Yeah, one more overlap was the animation, I think, because I'd also been doing animation work and I've always been interested in animation. And so there is something in the film and animation overlap, but otherwise, you're right. It was the biggest thing in the beginning was definitely that it was not a business plan of any kind
I
at
mean, that's
all.
fine. Like, you can have fun and make a video game, I guess. Like, I guess. I mean, like, I do stuff for fun too. It's just like, it's so funny to me, like, seeing the finished product and like how many millions of views it has, and like trailers, and like all the articles written about it, and like seeing the gameplay and how professional it looks, and like the attention to detail, and like the cool merging of different worlds. And it's like, yeah, it was just this, like, when you first got the commission to make this character, were you like, oh, these guys are serious? Or like, hey, whatever, I'll give them a random character design, like, see what happens.
More the latter, and not as much whatever. It was kind of, they sent me like a tiny video that, like a mock-up of, they had set up like a properly lit, because this is all from the like film background. They had made a really nice like picture of that bedroom they had built, and then like After Effects in like some like watery bubbles through the bullseye windows of the room. And they had put a little like rust on the walls, and there was like the somebody played a little, not a recorder, what's the, is it a harmonica? No, the little like keyboard based flute
Oh yeah,
instrument.
I don't know what that's
Yeah,
called.
somebody was playing music on that, and it was just a little loop of that room, and they sent me that, and they were like, hey, I think we're trying to make a video game that involves stop motion and hand built stuff. And
Were these guys
that
working full time at the same time? Because like, I feel like you have to be in a pretty special place to collab with multiple people on a project that seriously. Like, I've done collabs with other artists over the years, and like, the deadline is like a year, and like people jump in and out, and like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like everybody kind of had to be in a pretty interesting place to go that hard on like one project.
Well, I think it's really important to throw into the mix now that it's been, more than 10 years since then.
Well,
So that makes a huge difference in terms of, expectations and going through to the point we're at now. But yeah, the initial thing was it, I know what you mean exactly, and it didn't feel like that normal. Let's collaborate on, like one painting together or one, like animation loop. It was a lot more loose and free for some reason. Maybe because it was also just multiple people from the get-go. And I would assume that for the others, that the collaborative way of working must have had something to do with the film work too, just because film is so reliant on like some like ghost hand in the background that like pulls it all together. Like surely there's, all, well, yeah, you have, that whole
Oh, I
hierarchy
know.
of
I love
producers
that
and
term.
whatnot, but ultimately all the different departments do just kind of work by themselves, kind of blindly trusting to some degree, and you all just like shove your parts in front of you until you end up with a film.
So, it took 10 years to come to a finished product. At what point along that path did you take things seriously and start to work on this full time and like dedicate, because you got, like you mentioned before, you have to pay rents. You wanted a career that was more stable. But it doesn't seem like the solution to all those things, I guess. Like,
No.
so at what point were you like, you know what, this is a big project. I'm gonna become a full-time art director designing this video game world and like dedicate your career to this?
I think we so very quickly we all like the four of us realized that there's some like very unique like kindred spirit between us, like all the initial like initially it was just a like a Zoom, not a Zoom, but maybe a Skype call about that character sketch. But then the I guess the next step for me into the project was they tried to make like an actual physical model out of the sketch and couldn't figure it out. And so they asked me kind of back for another round to actually sculpt the sketch that I sent them. And when I did that, we just got really sucked into like world building in general, and just sat around together for a while, like fantasizing about where else this might go. And that
Interesting.
was so like motivating that it was clear that this is gonna go somewhere, like not necessarily to a finished game, but like the let alone this like work group was so much fun that we would have to figure out something to do together.
Yeah. So you're
And
living
then
your
I'd
life
say,
and you stumble upon like a magic grove, where like you dive in and it feels really great and like you're inspired and you're very cohesive and you're mixing around ideas. That sounds fantastic. I mean, it's something like I experienced this with one of my good friends, Chance, after my first business university, and he was like into photography and film, and so was I, and we would just like meet all the time and like do photo shoots and come up with film ideas and film short films and like get actors in and just like all on our own. It was fantastic. And then I moved away to the city to pursue business. But I've been kind of like searching for that place again with like where I am at now. It's very hard to find like other people that you mesh so completely with, like creatively and like ideas and whatnot. But so that sounds fantastic. Of course, why would you give that up? Like, yeah, like hanging out with some guys and like creating some art and like trying to see where it goes. My next question is kind of like, you said there was something there, you know, there was something there to explore. Like I think that is one thing, and like something, how do I say this? Something that is marketable and people want to buy is a totally different thing, right? Like you could have made this video. There's many people who make like projects that are like self-serving in the sense that it's like a fun time and they don't really care what the result is. But like at some point you guys decided this is, we want to, you know, make this a game and sell it and try to make money off of it and find funding and take this seriously and make money ourselves. So like, at what point was the crossover between this is really fun and exciting to let's take this thing that we all love and like turn it into something that other people are going to love so we can make money, I guess? Not, I mean, that sounds so harsh, but like it's the
No, I know what
nature
you mean.
of how things go.
Yeah, I'm just kind of thinking about like to how much of that thought was actually there. I think it's distributed across the group too. Like there's some people that are more or were f focused on, you know, like even the possibility of making money off of it and it being self-sustaining, and others that were more focused on like making the thing without considering the business aspect of it.
It sounds like a
I
good
don't know.
mix, though, to be honest. Like, you need
D
people who
definitely,
don't
yeah.
want to think about the money at all
Yeah.
to really push different ideas. And you need people to think about the money to keep those people on track.
Although we're definitely like overall more on the like not being too rational about money things, basically, to be quite honest. I mean, probably in the long run we'll need to focus more on that. But so it was probably 2 years later to 3 years later. There's definitely just a couple of years where, first of all, we went from the stop motion experiments, and really like we photographed the backgrounds and had like still static backgrounds, and then with green screen walk cycles on top of that. Basically, that was the first tryouts, was to have like what, eight different directions for the character to walk in, then like a, you know, like pick up an object animation. I don't think there was a jump, but you know, a couple of like basic things that would happen in the game. Record all that, and then like key it onto those backgrounds. And then I think the first issue we ran into was the lighting, that just like we couldn't, the lighting of the backgrounds is really dramatic kind of from the get-go, because we really wanted that like atmospheric underwater light to come in through like bullseye windows and have like fish kind of swimming around on the outside. And then it was very apparent that the character was photographed elsewhere. And because it's interactive and you can't have, like process the light, like bake it in for the one walking portion that's happening, you need to consider some kind of interactive lighting scenario. And then we got into like sprite based. There's like a program that could calculate like rough lighting scenarios, basically, like have a vague general light source on the left or the right side, and then have that affect the flat photography of the walking cycle. And that helped to some degree, but it's still like the finished like prototype that we had going from there, like didn't really work satisfyingly yet.
It's
And
so
that's kind
disappointing.
of
So you did
yeah,
eight
but
different
it,
walk cycles from different angles and jumping and picking up objects and green screen and putting it in. And that's so much work. And then to look at it and be like, oh.
well, it wasn't quite but it was definitely like a wow, this, damn, like it's
I know
somehow
exactly
the
what you
balance
mean.
isn't like it's not one thing is like way higher up there in terms of quality than the
Yeah,
other thing,
it's
and especially the game consideration was just the biggest factor we're focused on, I think, is like this can look as nice as whatever, but if it ends up not feeling right when once you play it, then
yeah.
it doesn't really make sense to pursue.
Right, it's because you want the player to like have an immersive experience, and like it's very it, when like already in my mind I know exactly what you're talking about, where two things are lighted differently and composited together, and it just looks like it looks like flat, and you're taken out of the experience because it doesn't feel real anymore. So then you decided to 3D scan everything.
Yeah, then we decided to 3D scan everything and all that to say, just in terms of like the timeline. And so that was like 2 or 3 years of us doing this at night and
Three
kind of doing like
years.
jobs on the, yeah, I would say so. Like this included like developing the story to like a major degree and coming up with a bunch of characters, getting a sense for like what this would be like as a business and like figuring out where to get money for this. And a whole bunch of stuff happened during this time. But, I think we like officially founded the company in 2015, and right had gone through a bunch of like basic company setup and like project setup thoughts at that point. And also 3 years, so this is the continual thing throughout the whole process, is 3 years of working on this like as a side thing that we did at night and in between like our actual other jobs where everybody was doing part-time work and freelance gigs
Did you
at the
ever feel
same, or even
tempted?
going to school.
Yeah. Were you ever approached or felt tempted to take a full-time job and just be like, I like this is much more stable for me. I don't have time anymore to work on this side project. Like, did you ever have that point in your mind?
Yeah, absolutely in my mind, but I literally couldn't figure it out. Like I've sent out so many awkward applications to so many different places, and it was.
Awkward applications. Hey.
Yeah, because to this day, like it's really funny now. I learn a little more about it because we get the applications from other people,
And
and like
you're
now I
like, oh,
know
this
a
is so
lot more,
awkward.
like yeah, or like
Not
now I
hiring this
know like
awkward guy.
what I'm looking for from like a hiring perspective, kind of, and like there's so many rules out there for like here's your first like official application, what should you consider, and like beyond like everything, being spelled correctly and you being, like presentable or whatever, there's so many like weird corporate like rules that are like, you should definitely be saying this in your first two sentences. And that's, I appreciate the kind of even the awkward applications so much more now that I'm like in the hiring end of this than anyone that's like, good day to you, sir. I very much would like to inquire about and so forth. I don't know,
I mean,
the
like I've
formulaic applications.
it's a sidetrack, but like yeah, in my business days, I went through tons of of applications, and like I was always just looking for a real person, a real person who sounded legit and excited and could, I could trust to do the work. And like because people are applying to 1500 jobs and big companies want that corporate speak, it's just like it just falls so flat, and you end up reading these resumes and being like, I don't know. But then somebody's like, hey, you know, I'm just a guy living down the street, and I really am, I've done a couple of things, and I'm cute, and I don't know. You're like, great. Cute. <Yeah. laughs> Let's hire you.
Yes, it's true. So yeah, I definitely, I think I definitely considered it and was looking for, like, especially just like money to like pay, not even for like, you know, like disposable income money, but just like to fucking cover rent and all the like basic life things. And that it makes a lot more sense to have, or at least from that perspective, to have some like more stable income than just to, especially that's another thing, just to sidetrack for a second. I was in freelance illustration. I was like haggling over, you know, like 50 to 100 more euros, you know, for like days and weeks on end. And looking back at it, like knowing more about like corporate like budgets and stuff, like that seems even more ridiculous to me now than it did back then. And like hearing like I was like working animation stuff for a production company here in Germany, and I was also friends with some of the people inside the company that were working on like the more of the businessy end, and they straight up told me at some point that like, oh, we just have like a general rule here, like whatever the budget is, you should always have like offer, you know, 50% at most on your initial calls with like any new people that we're looking to work with, which, you know, some people find that reasonable. Like, to me, that's bullshit. I don't know.
Right.
I
so if they,
that.
If
I hate
the,
that mentality.
If they have a budget of $1,000, they say they only have $500.
Yeah.
And then they take
Always.
home the,
If not less.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's a whole other topic. It's really disappointing, and it's so easy to take advantage of people because there's so many people wanting to be and get into art, and it's competitive that, you know, like you said, you were haggling over 50 to 100 euros.
Yeah.
And then later on you learn that they had hundreds, thousands more maybe to give you.
Yeah.
I mean, like in my past experience in the business world, we worked with agencies, and like when we were a big company, we had $1 million retainer for the year, every single year. And sometimes we didn't even spend it all. So we'd be like, all right, give us $300,000 worth of extra creative for whatever at the end, because we didn't spend it. And it's like, it's crazy. It's like the industry is a bad place right now, but there's so much money. It's just like people are not willing to like trickle it down, unfortunately, to artists. It's so stupid. Okay, so
sorry, back to the
great,
actual timeline.
Not having a great time, but it doesn't sound like you're having an easy time like figuring out your career with illustration. And you've got this really cool magical project on the back burner that just formed as a company. At what point did you say, I'm gonna jump into this full time? Because like, did you ever work on it full time? You still working?
I was gonna say
because I know your company went through like Slow Bros, it's called, I think.
Yeah.
It went through multiple rounds of funding, and you got you went for government funding and independent funding, et cetera, et cetera. Like, and you've also hired multiple people throughout the years to work on this game and et cetera. Like, you know, I have so many questions, I guess. At what point like was working on the game an actual income stream for you versus like just a hobby?
I think from that, like around 2015, so we founded the company in order to receive government funding, which in Germany we have like a film fund that's been around for quite some time that eventually expanded like at least a little bit into video games. It's still a little surprising that like how reluctant they are about that topic, and like
Video games are a multi-billion,
maybe
$100 billion
no
dollar
one
industry, I don't know. And they're like,
I don't know,
I don't know about this,
yeah,
bigger than movies.
Definitely. But yeah, so at the time they had just like sort of started to venture into the sector and gave us our first round of funding, which was, I wonder how long, probably like a year and a half or something between, you know, like six seven people or something. We stretched that as far. I remember, like, definitely making. There's a lot of, like, bureaucratic nonsense to the application process for all the funding, and we definitely put in, like, like industry standard payment or something, but then it realistically ended up paying ourselves half of whatever we announced on our application sheets just to, like, make it last as long as possible. And again, we're only kind of, like, supplementing that with in between jobs, even then. And I'm wondering, now that you asked the question, I definitely probably the last 2 years we've worked on this full time and, like, nothing else.
Wow,
But yeah,
congratulations.
thank you. Yeah, that was definitely big, but also, like, at that point, almost unnoticeable because we're so, like, deeply focused on the project at that point. But all the time before that, even if we had funding, we always had to kind of, like, support it a little bit here and there with random other projects.
Interesting. I mean, it makes sense. So you're working on this seriously over the years, and then you realize you can get some funding, but you need to, incorporate as a company to get the government grant, which you get, and that supports you for over a year, and you stretch it out. Then you have to then that funding ends, and how did you get, like, a private funding? Because that's a whole different thing than a government application. Now you have to convince people who want, like, a return on investment, and can put their money to other places, that probably have more s less risk, higher return, more consistent payments, et cetera, et cetera. Like, where you're just, like, four guys making a video game. How do you convince? I don't even know who you're convincing. Who do you talk to get money? Like, obviously you can go to your friends and family and be like, "You know what we've been doing forever?" And they're like, "Ah, great, your hobby, your little Star Wars project. Yeah, great." But how do you go to actual people who have, like, I don't know how much funding you get, you don't have to say, but, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars they want to give you?
So in video games specifically, the way it still always works is there's always, like, a development company that actually makes the game, and then a publishing company that takes care of, first of all, funding, giving you money ahead of time to actually develop the full game, and then also usually localization, marketing, and, like, distribution afterwards, handling, like, the actual getting the game to people portion. And the initial talks are usually based on a prototype of some kind. This varies pretty hugely between different companies, whether this is, like, you have a ton of experience and only, like, a couple of pages of a text page based pitch, or if you're completely unknown but you have some kind of crazy mechanic or a huge Instagram following or whatever other, like, noticeable perk that puts you above, like, other applications. And for us, the way in was our failed Kickstarter campaign that we ran, like, during the time of the government funding, which, yeah, I'm also retrospectively so thankful that we didn't make the goal for many reasons, but also, like, the main reason being, like, the disappointment to people. Like, even at the time, Kickstarter campaigns were already kind of, like, critical in terms of people watching them and going, well, they're telling us the game's going to be done in 2 years, but we all know that this may take five or whatever, however many more years. And that totally rang true. Like, it would have taken us many years beyond the
So you
Kickstarter
were just
campaign.
like, "We need money. We're not considering the actual timeline. We just need money." And your Kickstarter failed.
Yeah, no, we definitely, it took us some time to, like, a couple of years to realistically, like, figure out the time schedule. Like, there was, like, a whole bunch of years in between where just, like, well, it's probably done, maybe next year, maybe the year after that. We can't quite tell yet. But like, at the same time, we did have, like, a very concrete idea of the scope, but just, like, not enough experience professionally to, like, really suss it out. I don't know. That's really, like, where all the producers and project management people, like, come in as, like, a like a really important part of creative work of a certain scope, at least, where you just really need these people to like sit down with you and kind of put ropes around the idea you have, however concrete it may feel like
Yeah, it makes sense.
it is.
So back on the developer thread, so like, yeah, that makes sense. A developer, may fund the development of the game and then help you with promotion, et cetera, et cetera. And to get a deal with a developer, you either have to A, have experience already, proven yourself in the video game field, and you have a new idea and you just need funding and to make get it made. And they're like, yeah, we trust you. You made these other AAA games or whatever. Or you already have like some perk. You have 1 million followers on Instagram, so you already have a market. You have a really cool idea that hasn't been done before, and it's very interesting, and it could be the first of its kind. Or you have a prototype that you've already spent hours and hours and hours making to prove. So where do you even get this conversation? Do you just go to developer websites and go, "Hello, my name is Ola, and I have a video game prototype that we are looking for funding for." Or do you have to go to conventions, or do you have to know the right people, or do you like, how did you, how did that process happen?
All of that, like it's conventions, it's the internet, it's writing. A lot of
You did
publishers
everything.
have like submit forms on their websites that are just, like if you have a game idea, send it here, but make sure it doesn't, it's not Super Mario Part 2 or whatever.
Yeah.
And you can reach them that way, but ultimately it's really because there is even like what during our development arc, like it's just an ever expanding industry so far, and there's it's crazy amounts of competition, and so it tends to be extremely hard to reach out to publishers, at least for your first game.
It's the same like the application process. Like it's just an awkward little
Yeah,
prototype
exactly. You just
email. Yeah,
Yeah, and you have to get to, the actual human that reviews what you're trying to give
right.
to them.
How
And but yeah,
many?
so
Oh, sorry, go
yeah.
ahead.
Well, our leg up was that Kickstarter campaign because we did get like a lot of attention for it. We even though we were very incompetent to this day in at like social media stuff and like getting the word out basically. Somehow the Kickstarter campaign, even just through Kickstarter, I think through their like system, it like ended up being sort of sent around. Oh, and we did at the time like really try to game like the press system, like putting out press releases that are like, look at it's the we made handmade a game, and like that definitely like tracked with press people from the get-go. Was like, oh, this is unusual, let's like write about this at the time, like very niche-y weird attempt that these people are doing out there in Germany. And that helped the Kickstarter campaign, and that even though it really like I think it failed at like a third of the support needed or something, but then afterwards we were actually just contacted by a couple of different
Oh, wow.
publishers that were interested in what we're doing, and then
Oh,
sort of
that's super
naturally
interesting.
got conversation started.
Because like, yeah, it's that's an interesting way to kind of cut through the clutter. I mean, it's unexpected. You can't really plan for that to happen, but like having a Kickstarter and like doing press releases and trying to get as much attention to your Kickstarter, and even though it failed, some of the right people happened to see it because of the uniqueness of what you were doing and people writing articles and whatnot. That's super interesting, actually. So then you had multiple publishers. Wow. So then you had to, then you went, then they were competing for you guys.
Yeah,
Okay.
to
So
some
then,
degree.
yeah. So then that basically, like, is the rest history? Like that enabled you to finish the game, with your team and like, no,
No,
not at all. Fantastic.
not at all. Yeah, so we ended up picking someone. So we had a bunch of like really interesting and like educational conversations during that time, especially in terms of scale. That's another big thing if you're out there trying to get, to make a game. There's all kinds of publishers, that deal with just exotic, tiny indie games. that are super niche and specialized to, like really big indies still focused productions that, that retrospectively, like I would put our project into now, just because it's really complex and covers like a huge budget over time and all that. But and then there's everything in between that. There's some that like sort of seeps into AAA production where like you've done a couple of those really big indie game things, and now you're like looking to expand the budget and team of people, so you're contacting whatever EA or some other enormous company, and then there's some collaborative possibilities there. But so we're after the Kickstarter campaign, we're talking to a bunch of different people all throughout that range. And ultimately decided to work with someone that seemed like a little more like on our level, as far as that was possible. And just in terms of like little of their team size and other titles they had put out, mostly because there's like especially one really big one we talked to, and it was very quickly apparent that we would just be like a speck of dirt on their like like roadmap in general.
Like you never get
And they would
attention. Like,
and you would kind of it would almost potentially feel like customer support contacting just for basic things in your co-working relationship. And so we found a company that was very like felt like it was on par with us, and we worked with them for 2 years and got, I think that was the first time we, most of us, did full-time work on it for the most part. And we got a ton of work done during that time. Like a majority of the game was actually finished during this time. And I think the work relationship that was between end of 2017 and beginning of 2020. Which is where we mutually decided to part ways. And unfortunately we were contractually bound to not get into any but further detail
Of
about that
course.
basically.
I
But
mean, I'm super curious about not why you decided to part ways, but like what there's no point in asking contracts about. Okay, so you're out of funding, you got a ton of stuff done, but it seems like now you're in a really good position where you have a like not just a prototype, but like almost a finished game where you can really and then you get another round of funding with somebody new.
Well, no, not yet, because it's 2020. It's really it was just like around like that end of 2019, early 2020, where it was kind of like
Nobody knows what's going on with the
surprisingly
world.
then the publishing thing ended. Our funding got pretty spontaneously cut off, and then COVID hit, and I was actually like I was living in Australia for a little bit as like a took some distance from the project for a minute, moved to Australia with my partner for almost a year, and like worked on the game still from there, and then some other stuff in Australia again on like the more on like illustration as an individual. But then it turned out that it was the beginning of 2020, and there's still more to do on the game than originally anticipated. And we were trying to find more funding, but especially now, like every all businesses got turned upside down, and it was generally really hard to like find any like logical thread of things to get going, basically. Plus, you would think that like having a mostly finished game would be helpful in like pitching this to other people to support you with it, but it was ultimately pretty counter constructive or in the way of like progressing, because the way publishers work is they buy up risk. So the whole thing is that they give you money and the split that results from it. So they give you money before anything's done, and then you share the revenue once the game gets sold. And so conventionally, like at the time, the split a lot of times was still like 80 20 70 30 for like the sake of the publishers.
Right.
But in between, I haven't had conversations currently because the like general enthusiasm has dipped back down. But we really fought for like a 50-50 split.
You mean revenue
And
share, 50-50 split?
yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Not the 50-50. It's insane they take 80-20. Like all they, I mean, they're supplying the money, I guess, and they're taking
That's
on
the
the
biggest
risk.
point. Yeah.
But like, I don't know. That's crazy. That's crazy.
It
No wonder
is.
people want to self-fund.
Yeah. And
Imagine
70,
spending 10 years of
30.
your life working on something and then like, I don't know, it does like okay. And you see like $1 million go to the publisher and you get like
Yeah, that's a really
200,000,
common
which is
experience.
like nothing over the 10 years you spent.
Yeah. And so the biggest factor in it, as I know now, is the money and like giving away money, because like up to this day, like you try and find money somewhere and it's so expensive. It's so like tied to
Yeah.
insane amounts of just like ifs and buts. And
Of course, it's like
so
that in every industry.
yeah, and 70-30 was like really the normal thing. 50-50 was like more common for a minute there after we had like really fought it out. Like we fought over that contract for like a year or something before we signed it. Just because from the get-go, it was kind of clear that like, damn, like 70-30, that how are we going to make that work for like anyone?
Yeah.
And 50-50 seemed more fair in general. I feel like 50-50 is a good place to start off. And that's back to the, like haggling over the illustration money on the phone, is that like 50-50 is so much more of like, yeah, you start in the middle and then like maybe one side finds arguments for why they need more or the other person does, but starting off with 80-20 is in most cases like, okay, what's the justification? But so yeah, we found ourselves in at the 2020 mark, and we're looking for funding, and we're having a lot of trouble finding it because yeah, it was like, okay, so you're mostly done, so like what, we can't really put too much money in there because we can't justify that like insane split anymore, and that's
Right.
why like this is out of our like general like business consideration overall.
It's out of
For a lot
our
of people, it's just
scammy business model to take all your money.
yeah, I haven't worked in publishing, so I don't know if it's actually scammy, if there's real reasons for it and whatever, but yeah, it's definitely out of the range of like the usual stuff and for us to consider it at all. And so we had a lot of conversations with that, and it was still a lot of the like polishing was missing, and like to a degree that we're only able to appreciate from our perspective now that it's done. But so at the time we had finished all the building, so all the handmade assets were done and they were all scanned in and put into the game engine. There's mostly like at least basic lighting, sometimes even like finished lighting setups. All the voice acting was recorded and like put into place. A lot of the like major milestones had just been like reached and finished. But yeah, it was missing a lot of animation. And yeah, polishing, just like really going into each bit of the game and reassembling everything. And that was a portion for in terms of like selling it that made a huge difference, as we realized once we got. So I think we spent a year just like talking to people, pitching this to all over the place. And again, this takes so much time. We like
Wow,
even
yeah.
we cut it back to our like four people founding base, and everybody else went back to doing different freelancy projects. And yeah, but all the conversations kind of didn't lead to the right places. And I can't remember off the top of my head right now where this idea came from, but we put together a trailer early in 2021 that we'd been working on for some time then, just like collecting the most finished parts of the game, or even going through. I think the way we made that trailer was just to go through like our the story of the game, then picking all the like strongest voice acting parts from that that logically connect to like reflect the story, and then finding all like the animations we had already recorded, or you know, like the places it happened in, and polishing just those elements to just have a really finished looking trailer in the end, basically. And then once we released that, that really like got like reached around for the or handed around for I think the most compared to like anything else we had published beforehand, and got us like the attention needed to like find the final source of funding, which was the Xbox Game Pass agreement. So
Oh.
that Microsoft offers the game in there as part of their Game Pass subscription model, where you can just like pay a monthly fee to play a selection of games, and they at least promise money beforehand, so they it's still not like a payout. They don't just pay you to like have the game in there. They pay once you put out the game. But on the
Okay.
other hand, that was the only restriction. So with the publisher, it's still a lot of like conversation about sometimes even the content of the game. But with the Xbox, it was very non-conditional, and they were just like, here, you know,
Just finish it.
yeah, just finish it. Exactly.
Okay, well,
And that
that's at
was
least
amazing
reassurance that
because
you can keep going at it. You've got something coming. Yeah.
that made a huge difference in like our work ethic too, because then it was just like, wow, we really put our heads down and like finished it.
Wow. What a journey. What the heck? And here you
Yeah.
are, so close to, being finished. Like, how does it feel?
It's surprisingly like non-feeling.
Just
I'm sad.
numb.
It's sad to report. Yeah,
Gonna
just because
go
it's
live
been
in a
so
forest
much.
after this.
I mean, I have a daughter at this point, and I'm just like looking forward to just like hanging out with her, and
Yeah.
just like going to the park and just like, I don't know, drawing pictures with her,
That sounds great. You should
and
definitely
also
do
to like
that.
hang out with a group too. It's like we've all like been like professionalized to such a degree where it's just like everybody's in their business mental business suit all
Yeah,
day,
man.
and I'm really looking forward to the future. Basically, right now it's really hard to like understand any of this. Or even also it's like we hired a marketing agency to like help us out with like getting the word out, and that worked well, and a lot of our videos getting a lot of attention. But like I'm really unable to like I'm really happy about the comments, but then I barely dare to like look in there even, because that's a whole nother thing to like get the first glimpses of like
Yeah, right.
How people receive it. And so I don't know. Yeah, it is surprisingly numb at the moment, and I anticipate though that like in a couple of months down the line, like we'll be able to like spend time as friends again, to like think about like new creative things again, hang out with my family, and like really like loosen up. I don't know.
I mean, for sure. I think you should all go to the park and bring crayons and black and white markers for your daughter to draw, and then in 25 years, you can pull them out of the basement and she can be like, wow, I didn't use any color, just like my dad. But also it's interesting how like being in the industry like changes it, like jades you a bit. Like it changes how you think about things. And like for me, it's really hard to get back to that place of like pure fun and like timeless enjoyment of art, because like I'm always thinking about like, okay, what's the next thing I have to do, or like how am I going to pay that rent, versus like, I don't know, right out of university I didn't even care about rent. I was like, whatever, I'm working at a coffee shop, I'm making my bills, I just want to like live in this fantasy world all day. And now like being through my own processes, it's like hard to get to that state. So I really hope you get to that state and have a good time. And who knows, maybe 10 more years you'll have a completely different project with these guys. You're like, I don't know how we ended up here. Now we're asking for millions of dollars from these other publishers for something. So do you have any like timid like hopes for the video game? Like, do you want it to be a massive success, or just like break even, or like you're done with it and you just want to like move on to the next thing? Like, do you have any like what you really, you said you're scared to look at the comments in a couple of weeks, the game will be out and you'll know, like.
Yeah, intimidating expectations, definitely. I think we're most of us were always really just aiming to like break even, to like get back like the money we owe to whoever out there. And then the like idealistic goal is kind of to like make back the money that we theoretically would have paid ourselves in the past throughout these 10 years, which is already like a huge
Theoretical bill. Yeah.
yeah,
Of
which is
course, of
already like
course.
a huge aspiration. And then the biggest thing though is that, and that is kind of popping up already, like it's in game development. It's really and probably in most like larger scale production processes, it's we're never really able to like play the game. And
Right.
some developers like put more focus on like being able to like play a very initial boxy version of whatever you're planning to do from the get-go and then kind of build on that. But that's kind of a very specific and also a skillful thing to do. And considering that we weren't all too skillful in terms of game development in the very beginning, this is never the case for us. Like we always worked on it in like weird little abstract cut-off bits here and there. And only like pretty recently, we were able to like really start to play the game ourselves and see what it's actually like, what we've been building on, this whole time. And we just put out a demo a couple of weeks ago or a month or something. And that was the first wave of like any kind of reception. And it's like that's been super helpful for like my mental state in terms of like the reception and everything, just because there's definitely both sides of just like, wow, I hate it. Like I can't deal with this. It's so slow. It's, like I don't like the main character or whatever. And
Yeah.
being able to like live with that and figuring that that's cool, like everybody's, entitled to opinions, and being able to like live with that as like one of the people that worked on the thing. But also there's been so many messages of people just like, hey, we're playing this as a family on the couch, and like it's a
Cute.
hoot, and like like we're sharing like thing like little lines from the game like in the kitchen, and stuff like that. That's like my ultimate fulfillment. It's just like people are like getting inspiration from like playing the game or like relating to something in their own lives. I don't
Yeah.
know, like just like small personal connections. And I think we're pretty well set up in terms of breaking even financially. And so anything after that is like a scale of like how far we can make it into the retrospective salary or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's worth, I don't know, we're already after this 10-year process of like sort of fighting our way through this at times. First of all, the group is still like very much like personally connected. Everybody here is like we're all getting along together. We're all still like going out together, and we all still like share weird fun ideas amongst each other. And we've together like learned so much in the process, and like found a way in general to like finish this thing. Like that's well so enough to me,
That's amazing.
as long as we do break even. I guess that's the modest thing. It's like I don't want to be in debt forever.
Right. I mean, this sounds like from a financial standpoint, like breaking even, hopefully there's some cherry on the top where you can make some money. From like an emotional standpoint, you're still having fun with the original creators. Like it seems like you're in a good space. Overall, it seems like a very like good experience. Considering that it wasn't something that you set out to initially accomplish, it wasn't like you're like, I have big lofty dreams of creating this crazy video game that merges like real life objects in a 3D environment in another world, and it's like a slow burning story narrative. Like, so it sounds, I mean, it's just been interesting hearing you talk about this. Do you, I guess, out of this experience, are you anxious to create something, another video game, a new one, or you're just like, I want to take a break and see what happens?
Kind of in between. Like we spent so much time figuring out the like technical pipeline of how to make this happen,
Yeah,
how to
you have to
bring
figure
these
that out
like
anymore.
hand-built things into a game. And exactly, we don't have to figure that out. We're like very familiar with it. We're super familiar with all the business nonsense. Like we've done so much of that that we're like we accidentally have a like a business here now, and that's kind of,
Whoops.
like yeah. That's like because, but it is, that's such a, I'm saying, putting it that way because it is such a like balance in that way. It's like we really wanted to get this, like, keep, not even like, as you said, like, put, have a lofty game fantasy of some kind, but just like to keep pursuing this like intuitive thread between us and then like figure out the however to make that happen business-wise from the other end. And now that we're here, like we can definitely say, okay, like the we know enough about the business thing, we figured out how to do the model to game portion. And I really want to make another video game on the one hand because I want to continue working with these people and like use all the things we've built up here and have a probably way more satisfying and like realistic thing to work with, kind of just because, yeah, everything is way more plannable and everything. And at the same time, it's been kind of weird to like, as you said, probably it connects to the like having lost some degree of like the naivete and brokenness from the past is like we've been full time working, not even in terms of like money, but just like being in an office. Like eventually we went from like a couple of our bedrooms and like random spots in between university things that we could like use for little bits to like a separate tiny workshop in a tiny office somewhere to like now we've kind of arrived at like a proper workshop inside a proper office. And but yeah, now I would find myself like going here all day to like, like every day I bike to the office, I'm here all day staring at a computer, and then I come home to my daughter late at night and like I'm like, hi, I'm like the late at night
I'm your
dad. Like
dad.
fuck, what is this? How does this happen? Where's my little like top hat and like my little suitcase,
Oh my goodness. You know, it's what you said is just really interesting because like it's almost a trap, you know, like the next thing that you do, you're gonna want to keep the office, and the office has to keep its lights on and it needs rent. And like, so the next thing you do, there's more pressure to make more money to keep the momentum of like all the things you've built up going. And it's like, yeah, it's a little bit of a trap because like I even feel this myself. Like there are projects that I would have loved to take on when I was younger that I would never consider now just because I'm like, I don't have time for that. I got to take on something that's like more valuable or like bigger or like whatever versus like having fun at this stupid little project that's proposed to me or that I even want to do on my own because it's not worth my time anymore. And it's like, those things led to where I am, but I don't do them anymore. So I don't know. But like I think what you have with your friends is like super valuable. You know, like you set out to basically do one of the most ambitious projects, which is create a technically, you know, video game coding is like a lot of technical stuff, a lot of math, business, art, like it's all compiled into one thing, like talking to big publishers, getting a lot of online attention, like doing this thing that nobody else is doing style-wise. So I think it's incredible. And like, yeah, if you can keep it going, momentum and ideas with these guys, whatever it is, you'll probably figure it out at the end of the day, which is really cool. So yeah, I think it's been super interesting hearing all about it. I can't wait to play the game. I have the demo. I just need to find some time to play it.
Yeah.
But like your style, like it's like as a stop motion person at heart, like and working on video games as well, like instantly, like I shared it with my coworkers. I was like, look at this thing, it's crazy, blah, blah, blah. Instantly stood out to me. So I think there's something really special there. So is there anything else that you wanted to share maybe as we're wrapping up here?
Thank you, first of all.
Oh.
It's so nice. And yeah, wonder. Since it's 10 years, there's so much to theoretically talk about, and it feels a little dry just to talk about the animation industry portion of
Oh
it or
no.
something.
I know we didn't talk at all about the art style and like the process and like all those other things. Unfortunately, I mean we could keep going, but I don't want to take up all your time and stay where you are.
No, I'm just trying to figure out, especially if I was listening to this myself, what else I might be curious about. But yeah, no, this industry-wise, I think this was a good coverage.
Okay, well, that's totally fine, and like I found this chat really valuable for myself, especially like down the road I want to make my own video games or partner with people making video games, especially like now that I've been in this industry and been animating for a couple of years, it's like a super it's like turned me on in a different way creatively that I wasn't before. So I maybe I over-indexed on asking about the business side of things and the technical things, but maybe that's just
No,
where my head's at right now.
that's not what I was trying to say. I guess one thing I just thought of is in terms of people potentially aspiring to become game developers themselves, there's two things that I tend to share if people ask me for it. And one is the we were extremely lucky in finding this group that we're working in. And then I myself, I'm actually before this group thing, I would have definitely described myself as an individual working person. I was always fine to work within teams, but I definitely work my strongest just alone in a dark room, focused on one individual thing. So I totally relate to there's a bunch of single person developers out there, and I see where that comes from and how that might be tempting. But I strongly recommend you find other people to work with on whatever you plan to work on, because it's so helpful in so many ways, not just because you're sharing skills, but also just in terms of motivation. That's the only reason we were able to pull through with this, is because whenever somebody went off the track and started to doubt whatever was happening, or got confused or had personal problems in their lives or whatever, and we always kind of relied on having each other to pull us back into what we're doing. And the other thing is the in terms of bringing your ideas to other people and finding support for it, I found it even in talking to other people, not just for our project, is that the visual element is by far the biggest selling point, that whoever you're talking to, even very early on, if you're just having if you're a programmer and working on that, and you have some kind of thing that you're focused on there, and yeah, maybe in animation, if somebody's just doing animation and maybe more ad-like illustration things aren't their strong suit, maybe find a buddy of yours, and explain the idea to them, and have them commission a visual thing for your pitch deck to show it to people, because it makes an incredible amount of difference.
Of course, nobody likes to read or like imagine their own thing, but as soon as you show somebody a visual, it's just there. It just exists. It makes so much sense. And like especially with your guys' visuals, which is so strong. Like I can imagine that helped immensely. Yeah. So that's th those are really good points. Like one, the cohesiveness of like a team and the power of like motivating and creating something together obviously trumps or it doesn't trump, but like there's something there. It doesn't matter what you're doing, you're probably going to accomplish a lot more. But also like the fact that you are a single person who you work well on your own probably means that you're like taking this seriously and like can put your head down and like accomplish something as part of that team. And then the visual aspect of like selling your idea that totally makes sense. So, yeah, those are really good 3 points to sum it up. Is there anything else that you wanted to share as we're wrapping up?
No, I think that's it.
All right, cool. Well, thanks so much, Ola, for coming on the chat. It's been really insightful for me. I'm really excited to play this game. I think what you're doing is really cool, and I'm very grateful you came on the chat. And so thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. It was such a pleasure.
Oh, thank you. And if you're listening and you would like to follow Ole, you can do so by checking out his Instagram, which is Mouse Mouse, but there's a period before the last S in the second mouse, and his website, which is Mouse Mouse, but it's spelled MouseMouse.se. Of course, include those links in the description of this chat to make it easy. And you can check out Harold Halibut on Steam. You can wishlist it, or this episode might even come out when it's already out. So maybe you could go take a look and buy it there. So thank you so much for listening, and that's all for now. Okay, bye. The music for this podcast was composed by Willem Mendo and the graphics by Luhan Wang. I encourage you to look them up if you've enjoyed their work.